Hi, folks. Welcome again to another episode of Pro Football in the 1970s. I'm your host, Joe Zagorski. Now, thanks to the Sports History Network, a signed copy of my new book, The 2003-Yard Odyssey, The Juice, The Electric Company, and An Epic Run for a Record, will be given away to one lucky fan. It's all about the 1973 Buffalo Bills. Please check out the Sports History Network online for details on how you can win a free copy of my new book on the 1973 Buffalo Bills. Thanks a lot for listening in to today's episode, folks. Look forward to chatting with you again soon in the future. Take care.
This is our league, and this is your league. Broadcasting from the 55-yard line in Japan to the shores of the Great White North and everywhere around the world on Gridiron America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Everybody, greetings. Welcome to From the 55-Yard Line with Greg here in Japan. And we got Fran in North Carolina and Dave in upstate New York. And it is a, it's Sunday morning. It's Mother's Day here in Japan. And it's Saturday night there over in the States. So how you guys doing, man?
Doing good. I mean, I enjoyed the UFL, the second UFL game. The first game was a boring train wreck. But the Birmingham-St. Louis game was fun to watch.
Doing well, enjoying a busy Saturday here, but looking forward to chatting about all sorts of sports.
Yeah. So where do we start off at tonight, guys? I mean, I know it's UFL football weekend. Let's start there. So what's going on just real quickly, Fran, Dave, with what's going on with the UFL right now? We're in week seven, I think.
Week seven of the UFL, and we'll go with the game everybody was waiting for, a preview of possibly the UFL championship with when Birmingham beat St. Louis. Dave, what were your thoughts on the game?
I thought it was everything we thought it was going to be. It was by far a matchup of the best two teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it was an exciting game. It came down to the wire. St. Louis had their moments, but I watched some of the game. McCarron got hurt towards the end. That was kind of a cheap shot. Ankle injury. Hopefully his ankle injury isn't that serious, but he got his ankle hurt, and he was limping a little bit toward the end of the game.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think one of the things that Birmingham exposed with St. Louis is they really need to establish a running game. They really haven't been able to do much of that this year. But I think that's something that through the next couple weeks, gearing up for the playoffs, that's one thing that they could really utilize is that front five to push forward and gain some yards to take some pressure off McCarron. It feels like they go as he goes.
And the play to Adrian Martinez, he just played really well.
Unbelievable. Right now, my vote for MVP. He is just spectacular. He's making plays, and I don't know where Skip Holtz keeps finding quarterbacks, but holy cow, he is exciting to watch.
Will NFL team probably sign him?
He'll be in a camp for sure. I don't see why he wouldn't be in somebody's camp. Now what does that mean? I don't know, but I think the one thing that the USFL, XFL, and now the UFL has done is they've really done a really good job of developing quarterback play, because I think it's shown in the way these players are making plays. I mean, from year one of the USFL, year one of the XFL to now the combined year here is leaps and bounds in the football being played. It was a really good weekend of football.
It was an exciting brand of football. The first game, Arlington killed killed Memphis. They had three games. They lost to the final moments, and now they finally get a win. 8,000 fans in Arlington, David. 8,000 fans.
I'm going to focus on almost 70 points were scored. That's exciting.
Bet the overs, man. I can fly to Japan on these overs.
I mean, but this is what we want. Scoring is what people want. I mean, it's they're tuning in. They're not going to tune in to spring/summer football for a 13-9 grudge match where we're banging for 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards. They want excitement. They want to see scoring, and they got it. I mean, I don't. It is just a very good weekend of football.
So far, and we have a good game tomorrow, Michigan and D.C., and D.C. will be at home. And then you have Houston and San Antonio, who likes to run the football more than throwing it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be great to see. Hopefully the excitement, hopefully the offenses, I think, light up the field, but we have two more competitive games, and the ratings people are hanging in. The ratings are staying, which was what's the question that was being asked every week as we get to week seven. The ratings are still there. We're starting to hit that time of year, and the ratings are still there.
Well, and that's really what it, I mean. That's what this whole league has kind of hinged its success on. Not so much attendance, but the ratings. And you know, if I'm understanding correctly, the games are all on network TV now.
Yes. Correct. Yep.
So, last year's debacle with the XFL was putting stuff on obscure channels at obscure times. So,
I mean, Fred, Birmingham had 14,000 people today. I think that was a great crowd.
That's for a minor league football game. That's a really good crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that's phenomenal. I mean, everyone's not going to be St. Louis. It's just not going to happen. So for Birmingham to put 14,000, I think that's great.
And what shocked me, like 5,200 of them were St. Louis fans. I saw the St. Louis fans on TV, so they came out and showed their support.
Definitely. Like I said, it's great to see these rivalries getting built. And it's you could it felt like a playoff game. It felt like there was more to it.
It came down to the wire. I mean it was exciting. I mean, that's the one game. I'll make a prediction. I think about 1.2 million will be watched. Hopefully, I'm right. Hopefully, they get at least a million on Fox to watch that game. I know the baseball affiliates got pissed off at the end because they had that. The problem with the UFL games, they're going too long because when the XFL, the games are a lot quicker and faster. These UFL games will last forever with injuries and referees not knowing what the hell to do.
Well, the only thing I'm a little leery. I don't want anybody. I don't have a number per se for ratings because it was a 4 o'clock in the afternoon game. If this was a prime time or a 7 o'clock start time, I could see hitting a really strong number, but I'm not sure what a 4 p.m. kickoff is. There's going to be a little, if it was the UFL championship game would be one thing, but even a great matchup, I think the rating is going to be good, but I mean, if they get to a million, if they hang right around the million, I'd be very happy with that. Just, I'm talking more of the time. I'm not disappointed with the number of people. It's just that 4 o'clock window is just a tough one.
So David, since we're not going to be doing show for another month or so, what do you think about a 5 o'clock on a Sunday game for the UFL championship next month? Is that good? Good TV time window at 5 o'clock on a Sunday when people are having the dinner.
It's 5 o'clock on Sunday because that's a TV window they could get
on Fox. If
8 o'clock was available, they would have taken it. I mean, that's just how it works. So I don't know exactly what's going on that weekend.
I was going to ask what's the competition viewer wise? Yeah, because really June is kind of. I mean, you got the. Don't you have the Stanley Cup going on in June?
NBA Finals,
NBA Stanley Finals, Cup.
And some golf stuff too.
Yeah,
and
you really don't have.
I mean, Fox starts primetime baseball right around the All-Star game, so we're getting close to that period too. So, in all these networks, book over a year out. So it's not like you could call up 3 weeks from now and go, hey, I'm looking for a prime time on a Saturday night. You got nothing? Perfect. I got something for you.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, if you look at, I mean, the Super Bowl's at 6. So it's an all day affair. And let's be honest, too, it's probably cheaper for a 5 o'clock than 8 o'clock window anyway. So I don't know if 8 o'clock was available. There's so many dynamics to that question. I mean, I think it just starts with what time is available.
But 8 o'clock on Sunday would have been worse. 8 o'clock on Sunday would have been worse than 5 o'clock.
7. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to, I mean, you're not going to break into, well, June wouldn't be sweeps. June wouldn't be prime time anyway. So with shows anyways, because they'll be in reruns. So it's, you know, they're going to get a good number. They're promoting it everywhere. So by the time in the next month, so many people, I mean, it's going to be on every NASCAR broadcast. It's going to be on anything and everything you can drop in the next month. And don't be surprised if you see some ABC commercials, like when they're dropping the ABC games, the UFL championship on Fox, because they, USFL did that last year. They're across promoting that championship game.
Plus, too, I mean, June is that time of year where people really get itching for football again.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of people who are itching for football in the States, excuse me, either don't know about the CFL or don't even know where to find the CFL, which for those watching who might not know, the CFL will be on the internet. You go to CFL.ca and you can go to CFL Plus and watch all the games for free on your laptop, your device, and like me, I've got a way to cast it to my big screen TV. So it's the key thing with football is knowing where to find it. And I think with the UFL this year doing what they're doing, maybe they'll be able to recapture that magic of that first United States Football League championship in 1983. That's kind of the standard when it comes to spring league football championships.
Well,
except the part where there was a riot right after the game.
I think we're going to see a rematch a month from now. I think we're going to see St. Louis and Birmingham in St. Louis. And I think this time St. Louis will win the championship. We'll see what happens. But a lot can change in a month with injuries and upsets. Hopefully, we get that matchup. If we don't, then we'll see what happens. But now, since we talk about CFL, Chad Kelly trying to organize third quarterback and is not at least 9-game suspension for, wait for it, inappropriate behavior. Guys, what do you think?
Okay, so here's my question. What exactly is the inappropriate behavior? Do we have anything, do we know anything besides inappropriate behavior? Because that can run the gamut.
We know nothing.
So we don't know. So without knowing the facts, all we can do is speculate, and we could speculate till the cows come home, but he's not playing for the first half of the season. So that says something, but it doesn't really say anything.
Who do they have as a quality backup, David?
Quality is the key phrase.
Who do they have on their roster right now that can play while Chad Kelly's out half the season, at least?
I think that's going to be decided in the next couple weeks, honestly, because here's the big issue with the Argos right now is they have so much money tied up in Kelly in the cap. I'm not sure what options they really have. I mean, there are other players available. There's free agents out there, but to be honest, I'm not sure. I mean, Cameron Dukes played some last year in some mop-up roles. I mean, I know also he came in the first game that they lost. They looked awful, and he came in just to play because, I mean, Chad Kelly couldn't hit the ocean standing out there trying to toss a rock into it. I mean, that's how awful that was.
Well, it would shock me if Brian Scott gets the starting job. Remember when you played in the USL Philadelphia Stars? Wouldn't shock me, or was that New Jersey Generals? I can't keep track of these leagues. But Brian Scott and the other guy is the Racket Kid. Is another guy. But Brian, it wouldn't shock me if Brian Scott gets the first dibs at starting quarterback for the Argonauts.
They'll need somebody. It'll be interesting to see how training camp goes because they really need somebody who. Just like you for a head coaching position, you need somebody who has the experience. The CFL is so different than the NFL, the UFL, the USFL, the XFL, whatever league you want to call it. And I mean, they have a month to get ready, and we'll see. I mean, Toronto had to know this was coming, so it's just one of those things where. If there's somebody, if they're a free agent out there, they could pick up at a minimal number and then use the marketing dollars to fulfill the rest of that. Or honestly, do you just take the hit? Do you just take the salary cap hit later? At the end of the day, whatever number you go over in the salary cap, that's the fine you pay. So if Toronto's willing to go over by $150,000 to get another quarterback for the first half of the season or maybe the season, and then have to pay $150,000 later. MLSC might be worth spending that if it means getting back to the championship game or getting closer or making another run at it if they feel the roster is good to go.
Or to bring asses into seats.
Yeah.
That's the other part of it too, just to get people to show up to the games.
Yeah.
Then who's the team to beat in the East now? Is it the Montreal Alouettes or is maybe Hamilton with making a rise in the East?
I'm picking Montreal.
Oh, yes.
I bet against Montreal all last year, and I lost. I mean, I would have, you know, they won the Grey Cup. Montreal, I think, is the team to beat.
Yeah, Cody Fajardo was just – he was awesome the second half of the year. Such a gritty quarterback. Yeah. Such a gritty quarterback. It's not pretty, but he gets the job done. And that's just one of those things where it's like boom, he just gets the job done. If you look at that Grey Cup game, that's what he did. If you would have told me going into that game that they would come back and win that, I would have said no way. And there it is.
Well, the thing is too, man, it's, you know, I always still wonder though. Because Winnipeg, you think about Winnipeg, how many Grey Cups have they been in a row? Four?
Four. Yep. Okay. 2-2.
They're 2-2. So to me, when I watched that game, yeah, Montreal won the game. But in many ways, I thought Winnipeg lost the game. It was more Winnipeg lost the game. So, but going back to what we were saying in terms of just who's the pick, it's Montreal until proven otherwise. And the same way with Winnipeg. But, you know, the CFL is a subject that we're going to be, Dave and I know we're going to be bringing on some of our fellow podcasters up in Canada here by the end of the month and doing a CFL preview show. So a lot can happen between now and then, and maybe we'll find out more about what happened with Chad Kelly, though. I got a feeling we're not going to find out much more. It's just my guess.
Unless something leaks, it's going to be very discreet.
Right.
If something leaks, then all hell can break. It could be a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's move on to something positive. Caitlin Clark, WNBA, Indiana Fever. Everyone's on the bandwagon. Attendance, ratings. I think she's going to create a big buzz for the league. Do you guys feel the same way?
Yeah, she's doing it already. I mean, she's kind of, to me, kind of that Joe Namath type player that league needs for people to take notice of the league. Dave, what do you think?
Amazing. It truly is. I mean, having a daughter who plays sports, it's just crazy. It's awesome.
She's the Mia Hamm of
this generation
of basketball. Yeah.
Everybody wants to buy jerseys. Hopefully the team wins. That's the biggest thing. Now the team has to. I mean, they'll draw, but if they win, imagine WNBA finals. They might easily get over a million fans.
Let's look at in the short period of time. This has already happened. The WNBA is moving to chartered flights.
$25 million.
They started there. Now the only one left is the NWSL. Now they're making them look bad. And then Caitlin Clark's first game, it's going to be on Disney streaming.
Yeah, and ESPN 2 is going to do different camera angles. Yeah, people are going to be it's going to be exciting. I mean, I mean now the media, the attention, the going to bigger arenas for some of these games. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to watch. I'll DVR and watch the games. It'll be fun. See how she performs and plays. And it's going to be exciting. And then next year, Paige Bucketts, the UConn star, she's going to continue add another piece to this. And now you have expansion where you have Bay Area, San Francisco having a team, and then Toronto probably getting a team in 2026. Toronto going to be a good WNBA market, unlike the CFL?
I think it's going to be a tremendous market. I think I mentioned it to you yesterday or the day before. They should have been there before. I understand the international ramification. Like, it makes sense now because of how the border was through COVID, and now we're getting back to good procedures. I don't say easy, but the borders are open more to make that an easier opportunity. And I think it's going to be great. The Toronto Raptors. I'm assuming, like I said, I not checked this out. Is it MLSE? Are they owning it?
We don't know yet.
Okay. I mean, I just don't see MLSE not being involved with this. So I just think they're going to have the financial backing of a huge conglomerate. And I can't imagine this not working out. Like it's going to be I think it's going to be a destination city to play in. It's a huge international market. I can see a lot of
only team.
I can see it being the right time, and the league is pouncing on it. And once again, if it is, that's more NBA money behind it. And that's what you want. That's what you want. I mean, the way I look at this is like the analogy would be the NFL and arena football. Arena football grew so fast because you had the money of the NFL behind it. Now the NBA has been behind the WNBA, but now we're seeing it's things happening on the court. You can't manufacture that success. And when you have a Caitlin Clark and you have and I don't want to say it's just Caitlin Clark, but you had good basketball, you have good games, you have good markets.
You have the Las Vegas Raiders owning the Aces. And then here's one thing that's happened that they're hinting at, a possible labor strife, because these players, now you're getting the hype and the hoopla, and now the players are going to want even more stuff. I mean, the New York Post did an article today that we can read, but there could be a labor. I don't think there'll be a labor strike, but the players have leverage now, more leverage than they ever did.
I think it's commonly known I am pro player all the way. Las Vegas has sold out in season tickets their whole season. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, charter flights. Like I said, they're the best way to avoid labor strife in professional sports is having communication with ownership and players and having that ability to see behind the curtain that we don't need to see. That's where when you have that good communication, you have that good back and forth, decisions get made, and then this stuff goes away. But when there's distrust, that's when this starts to really impact what happens on whatever field or court or whatever sport it is.
Well, I definitely see the NBA and WNBA sharing the TV deal stuff. I don't see the WNBA flying solo and doing their own thing. I think they'll piggyback what the NBA does. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, I think there's some avenues for the WNBA that the NBA doesn't have. So I think that there's some, whether it be cable or streaming. I mean, the NBA, Amazon seems to be paying a lot of money for the NBA. I think there's some opportunities. like the WNBA with this Disney in some other way. I think this is great. I think this is really going to be we are at, I think, an unbelievable time for professional sports in this country, and I say in my lifetime, with the opportunities that we have with professional sports and how it's impacting young people in all different sports lives.
That's definitely the case with that. But let's move on to another women's sport, the National Women's Soccer League. United States Women's National Defender, two-time FIFA World Cup champion, two-time NWSL champion, Kelly O'Hara announced her retirement at the end of the 2024 NWSL season. So, she's made an impact on the field. She's been great. And NWSL, they're a league on the rise as well.
Yeah.
They are.
Go ahead, Greg. Dave. I'm sorry.
Greg, go ahead. Please go. Jump in.
Yeah. From what I'm reading over here, it's definitely, it's definitely a league on the rise. Now, mind you, I don't have, the visibility anymore with what's going on with a lot of the minor league sports over there in the States. But just everything I'm reading on this end, soccer is the number one sport in the world, and women's soccer is growing around the world, just not in America. So, Dave?
Yeah.
I wish the Courage played in a nice way, able to play in a bigger, nicer soccer arena, but they're not going to build one in that area, Dave. We know that.
No, a new stadium would be built only if they went MLS, and that's not going to happen. So, I don't know if you saw, Fran, they ranked the
– I saw them, and they ranked them by attendance, basically. That's what they basically did. That Chicago Seagate is a dump. I mean, well, maybe Greg can comment on that.
Which one? It's not – I wouldn't say it's a dump, but it's an older stadium that doesn't get much use anymore. Ever since the Chicago Fire left. And it's also when, for those who know Chicago, we've got about of our viewers right now, most are on Twitter. If anybody's out there watching who's from the area, who wants to even chime in on the comment section, when it comes to stadiums in Chicago, where SeatGeek Stadium is at is probably the worst possible location for a pro sports stadium. It's in the southwest suburbs. It's along I-55. It's not the easiest place to get to. So, whereas if you moved it, say, up north in the northwest suburbs, you'd have basically a bigger fan base to draw from. Or we've got downtown Soldier Field, but Soldier Field's already got heavy use between the Fire and the Bears. Unless they put artificial turf in Soldier Field, I don't see happening.
Wave Men's Soccer Park is nice, but the problem with that is it's an old stadium with no amenities, and it's a nice ballpark. It's nice. Believe me, I live 7 miles from there. It's an easy drive in and out. Yeah. It's a nice area, but it's not. You're never going to get the big crowds.
Well, and also too, a lot of things with stadiums, it's about location, location, location. And if it's a hard stadium to get to, even with baseball and football, that's going to hurt attendance. And I think, in Chicago, it's weird because you've got the Cubs, Wrigley Fields, stadium's over 100 years old. In terms of getting to that ballpark, it's so hard, but yet they draw. They have great attendance, whereas on the south side, it's a relatively easy stadium to get to, but nobody goes to Sox games. Nobody ever has, even when they've been winning. So I don't know. Every city is different and unique when it comes to their stadium situation. So
let's stick with the Chicago theme. Let's move on to AHL. The Chicago Wolves announced they will have a 3-year partnership with the Carolina Hurricanes. They're back together, guys. Chicago can go on its own as independent. Now they're back with the Hurricanes. What do you guys think? Is smart move for them, or should Chicago try to fly solo?
Well, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry. I'll let you go. I'll let you go first.
I think they looked at other options. There's always contracts expiring, and there wasn't a good enough deal to go with somebody else. So you go back to the partner who got you to the dance. There's a couple things. The AHL and their management, I'm very familiar with them. They don't want independent teams. That's not their structure. Their structure with the NHL is to be the parent, to have the parent relationship, affiliate relationship. So when Chicago did that, I don't believe personally that they did it for looking at a long term. They looked at it, you know what? We can bite the bullet. The owner of the Wolves is very wealthy. He's willing to bite the bullet, do it for a year, and then explore what contracts are up. And I probably couldn't find a better dance partner. Because at the end of the day, these American Hockey League teams, they negotiate with the NHL team and they pay money to be the affiliate. The NHL team will supply players and sticks and different things, and the AHL club pays for it, and then they supply their things as well. So there's a discussion back and forth of who is what, and the better NHL teams get more money from the affiliate, and the lesser teams get less money. But it's all in negotiation, and they probably couldn't find a better dance partner. So you know what? There's probably a lot of pressure from both sides to get a deal done, to be honest. They're not going to threaten to take the franchise away, but the AHL doesn't want independent teams. The NHL doesn't want the same thing. They don't want the Carolina Hurricanes. It was a mess. They're shipping players all over, calling people, hey, can you take these two? Can you take these three? It wasn't a good situation that anybody wanted to see more than the 1 year.
And when it comes to the Wolves, yeah, it's interesting with the Wolves in Chicago, because the Wolves have been around for a very long time. And I've been to a couple Wolves games. They're great games to go to. Allstate Arena is perfectly, you know, we're talking about stadiums that are perfectly, that are bad in Chicago in terms of location. Where the Wolves play, it's probably the best location because it's right by the airport. It's up in that area of the city where, I mean, it's even though it's in Rosemont, it really is in the city of Chicago, and it's one of my favorite places to go see a game. I mean, I've seen Rush games there for arena games. But when it comes to their affiliate, in terms of with Chicago, number one, the Wolves never get any press in Chicago, and which is sad because the Blackhawks have sucked so bad and sucked for so long that really the best hockey team in Chicago is the Wolves, and they don't get the press that they deserve. But ideally, I think the Wolves would at some point like, because I don't know if they were or not. I'd have to look this up. Because you also have Rockford, which is right down the road with the Ice Hogs. They're the Blackhawks. They, for the long time, they've been the Blackhawks minor league affiliate. I think in an ideal world, it would be best for the Wolves to be a partner with the Blackhawks. But with that said, I don't think fans who follow the team are by season to care which team that they're affiliated with, because ultimately it is AAA hockey. And what matters to the minor league fans in Chicago is going out, seeing, watching the games, getting that good slap shot experience, which, you know, the big difference, at least to me, in watching, you know, American Hockey League games versus NHL games is, hey, at the AHL game, you know, a fight might break out at any time. And that's, you know, to me, the most entertaining part of the sport. But when it comes to Chicago, bottom line is, I just think, you know, they're going to be, it doesn't matter to fans in Chicago as to who the team's affiliated with, as long as the tickets stay affordable and it's a good time going to see a game. So that's my two cents.
Well, how about we talk about this Utah NHL team? How about these names? The 20 names announced: Frost, Ice, Powder, Mountaineers, Freeze, Mammoth, Black Diamonds, Blast, Caribou, Blizzard, Swarm, Hive, Outlaws, Yeti, Squall, Fury, Glaciers, Cannon, Venom, and HD Hockey Club were the names included in the survey. 20 names, fans voting. Anyone to catch your guys' attention, guys?
I don't know. I mean, I don't. Go ahead, Dave.
Nope. I was going to say, I have one. Utah Yeti. I want it. I think it's going to be awesome. The logo for that would be tremendous.
Yeah. That'd be an original.
I look at it like with the Seattle Kraken. You have the Seattle Kraken visit the Utah Yetis in a great matchup. Got the Kraken versus a Yeti. You get that big, bountiful snowman type creature, Sasquatch. It's kid friendly. They will sell so much merchandise off of that. You just got to get approval of the cooler company just to make sure that it's all good.
Will Utah be a good NHL market? Will it be a booming market, or will it die after 5 years?
The owner is investing in that sports market like you would not believe. I read there was over 20,000 season ticket deposits already put down.
Oh, wow.
I just think I think it's a home run. I mean, I think the NHL found somebody who paid a ton of money for this franchise, and gave the opportunity for Arizona if they have 5 years to pull the trigger to bring the Coyotes back. But I think it was at the end of the day, the NHL pulled off what was the worst positioned franchise into smelling like roses.
What's going to happen to the AHL team then when this happens? Are they going to stay in that market, the Utah team?
I think at least for 1 year. I think long term, that's really going to be up. It's going to be decided on the relationship between Utah and that ownership, because it's one of the things where they don't have an option right now. There's not a different place to go. I mean, everyone is partnered up. So the only way for them not to happen would be relocation or does the Utah owner purchase that and move them to some other place? But I guess the question is, I think in the grand scheme of thing, I think that's the last thing that the Utah NHL franchise is really worried about at this moment.
It won't matter to them. I mean, unless they get the affiliation of Utah, because then it'll be cheaper for travel. Like San Jose has their team playing in their city too with the Barracuda. So, but it's good. I mean, NHL is going to, you know, I mean, will NHL add any more teams eventually, or are they going to just stay put? Will Phoenix have a team 5 years from now?
No.
All he has to do is pay for, if he wants, if here's what happens. The NHL took the chance, and the NHL went in as partners. So they lost money as well as the Arizona ownership. If Arizona comes back, this will be solely on Arizona. Gary Bettman's not going to be involved. The NHL is not going to help foster this by investing their money as well. So if Arizona comes back, it'll be on their dime. So I wouldn't count them out until 5 years is up, because money talks in professional sports. So the NHL is looking to expand. Everybody wants to get to that magic 32 or 30. Like, it seems like 32 is the magic number, because you can break that up easily.
And then there's also the issue of, are they ever going to put a team back in Quebec City?
So. I think you have a better chance of going in Arizona than you have a chance of going in Quebec City.
I don't know.
The facilities.
Just my feel on it, though, is just I mean, Arizona is a great market, but I just don't think hockey's going to work there. And it's got a bad history now with the Coyotes and everything. I think a lot of stuff has been tainted. Now, with that said, hey, you know what? Listen, in April and May, when the temperature goes up down there in Phoenix, I don't understand why people don't go to see a hockey game just to cool down. But, you've got the stadium situation. They were in Glendale. Then they're going to move downtown. And the way that area is spread out, it's, you know, going to Glendale. If you live in Mesa, going to a game in Glendale is a true commitment, because that's literally like driving across state. I mean, it's like basically might as well be in California just with the length of the drive and everything. So, but look for how long it took for the Cardinals to be accepted by fans in Arizona. It wasn't until after that stadium was built. Well, the Coyotes didn't have that issue. They had a stadium built, and look at all the problems. I don't see the NHL returning to Phoenix, and already the AHL is already ready to move into Phoenix. So, that's just my thought on it.
Well, I guess Atlanta is the hot topic right now.
And why? Why is that?
Facilities, money, really? TV market.
But when the Thrashers, I mean, in terms of attendance and fan support, did they have it down there? Why did they move? I could never quite figure out why they moved.
Opportunity. I think there was some ownership issues with money. Opportunity wasn't. The Thrashers just seemed like it was a well-intentioned idea, may have been ahead of its time.
Okay.
Because they're having problems in Winnipeg now. So that's why I also don't see the Quebec City. I think the NHL is a little gun shy of going back into Canada with anything extra based on what's happening in Winnipeg, which is their small market. Like, this is the big franchise we bought back because Winnipeg wanted it, and now there's some issues. I was reading that there was a talk of why not move Winnipeg to Atlanta.
Yeah, I read that too. Are you guys surprised Kansas City never got an NHL team? That's why they built the arena, and they never got a team. Kansas City, how come Kansas City never got an NHL team?
I don't know. I don't know much about Kansas City, really, to even speculate.
They did have the scouts, and they didn't last. I think it really comes down to, once again, an ownership group there. St. Louis is so close. You look at it going, they have Kemper Arena is now outdated. They'd have to have a new facility built. And you look at, okay, now who's going to be the multi-billionaire to buy it? Like, there's places, but you need to have that owner with the deep pockets who's willing to take this on. So that's probably the biggest issue why nothing ever happened in Kansas City.
And when it comes to Kansas City, I mean, we know that the Chiefs and Royals are probably moving across state lines at some point. Because in terms of building new stadiums, the voters in Kansas on the Missouri side said no to basically a stadium rebuild. Good. Or stadium, you know, so
good.
I'm trying to think what other cities. I mean, Milwaukee would definitely be a good NHL town. I mean, it's far enough away from Chicago that, you know, you don't get spillover.
Houston.
Yeah. Houston. No, so I mean, there's a lot of good candidate cities out there. I mean, there's still, that's a thing with the United States now. I mean, 20 years ago, there were a lot of town. There's been so much population growth that you now have more potential markets than ever before, even with the expansion.
Definitely. And then next week we have the National Lacrosse League Championship. Albany, they were 3-15 last season. Now they're playing Buffalo again. Dave, who do you think is going to win that series?
I'm going Bandits.
Me too.
No, I have no fight in this game because I haven't watched anything.
I think the Bandits are just what they did to Toronto. Toronto going into the playoffs, Toronto was the best team, and they shut them down in the first game, I think 14-3 in Toronto, and then came back. They were down by 4 or 5 and came back and won 10-8 at home. They just peaked. I think they peaked at the right time. And I mean, I'd love to see a 3-game series for the league. That means 3 home games. That just means 3 paychecks for the players. But I see Buffalo, they're going to have 19,000 people in Buffalo for this game. I just don't see them losing the first game. I think the Bandit fans will travel to Albany. Albany's been getting 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people. I think the Bandits will bring close to that many people of their own. And
the game one's in Albany, and then game
oh, it is two. Okay. I'm sorry.
Game
it
one's is Albany. Round. Yeah.
Sorry. So. Yeah, I mean, I think the Buffalo fans are going to travel, and they're still going to get that 19,000, and they'll win it at home, which will be even better. That's what I'm saying. It's a shame if they didn't, but now they can win it at home.
Well, if it goes game three, at least the game three will be on ESPN2 after the lacrosse, so that'll have a good lead. And I'm hoping to go through the game so at least I can watch it. I don't have ESPN+. So I mean, that's the one thing. They're getting buried because all ESPN has all the other things going on. Why can't they be thrown on Disney Plus or something? I mean, hopefully that happens. Oh yeah, that speaking of that, ESPN's going to start moving things to Disney Plus at the end of the year.
We'll see really?
What on there. Yeah.
Let me ask you in terms of the whole, wasn't there scuttle? I mean, isn't still going to ESPN is going to go to basically, from what I remember hearing correctly, they were just going to go to a complete streaming service instead of cable. What's is that still in play?
It's still a possibility, but the thing is, there's a rumor around the NFL Network may buy ESPN. So that's been speculated this week.
As long as I can watch my small college football, you know, and the price doesn't go up too dramatically.
Yeah, I think you're just going to see a lot more the sports bundles. So basically. The streaming bundles that we used to have with our cable choice. So if you had DirecTV or Dish Network or your local cable system, you had these channels. So actually, probably the best example would be like Sling TV. You'd be able to get instead of the Hulu, ESPN, Disney package, you'll be part of like 8 things. You might get Paramount with there. You might get Discovery with it. So it's the bundle of streaming services. I think that's where the future is going. If you have Peacock, you get like 30 different channels along with just Peacock. So Amazon does that now because with the freebie, you have all these different other channels that package along with it. I think that's just what you're going to see moving forward. Even like if you have Paramount Plus, you have like 8 or 9 different channels along with the main content that you are receiving.
Man, it's what's old is new again.
They have to find a way to these rights fees. If you're paying billions of dollars a year, that one channel is not going to carry itself. Like Peacock. Peacock paid how many millions of dollars for that one playoff game?
Yeah.
And they picked up. Was it 22 million people watched that game? Like, it was a humongous success. So, the NFL, don't be surprised if you see the NFL selling off more one-offs.
Well, Chris McKean's on Netflix. That's what they're saying now. Netflix is going to be the lead to get the Christmas games on Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, it's here. The future, really? The future that we've talked about like a year ago is here. It is 100% here. So, if you want to watch the NFL, you're going to be subscribing. It's not just YouTube TV now, the old DirecTV. It's not YouTube TV anymore. If you want to watch on Christmas, you got to have this. If you want to watch the playoffs, you're going to need this. It's just how it's going to go.
And you know what? With that said, we got feedback. One of you guys, I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm hearing feedback. Are you guys hearing the same thing?
No.
Yeah. I've been hearing it the whole, I don't know. it's, I don't know. But anyway, talking about you know, streaming. That's why I live in overseas, like with the, we'll use the NFL games. I pay one price, I get everything. And I pay less for watching it over here than I would in the States. It's just weird how all these different packages and, you know, the NFL and the other sports leagues, you know, they make their money off of TV and viewers. So it's, you know, they're going to get their money out of us either way. It'd just be nice, you know.
But I'll be honest with you guys. I enjoy the NFL, but college football is my favorite. I mean, especially with this 12-team playoff, I enjoy college football a lot more than the NFL.
Yeah, and I'm surprised too. I agree with you. And is college football, how are they going to work it with the streaming services? Because I think college football is in a position now. It's the other major league. I mean, there's two football leagues in the States. You got college football and you got the NFL. And I wouldn't be surprised to see college football all of a sudden, you know, band together like the NFL does and Dick, I don't know, kind of have what the NFL does is kind of.
Well, the problem is like on some of these streaming services, Peacock, sports bars are going to have to pay extra. And I don't know if sports bars are going to want to pay a fortune to, you know, get certain games on these sports bars. I mean, Amazon's a big, different animal, but Peacock, is a sports bar going to spend X amount of dollars to have all these extra people for Peacock and a sports bar?
When, and you also have the conferences. So you have the conferences and Fox and ESPN have done a really good job prior to this year, but prior to the last few years is really locking down these conferences to long-term deals. So I know the Big Ten just changed, but you're looking at the SEC has, I think, 7 or 8 years left on its deal. It's going to take a little longer to have the streaming services have an influence on college football based on how the deals are structured. And I think, yeah. Fran, correct me if I'm wrong, because I think you guys had this in our Sports Central. Didn't ESPN just renew their package for like the whole bowl, like the whole college bowl series and all that for at least a bunch of more years?
Yeah, they did. But the thing is, it wouldn't shock me if they let Fox have a game or two, because – you know, they have. It wouldn't shock me if they spread the games a little bit. If Fox wants to, you know, or somebody else wants to pay for a game or two, wouldn't shock me. But I mean, a 12-team playoff, at least we'll have meaningful bowl games to watch. The one thing I would love to happen, which I don't know if it's going to happen, but one of the bowl commissioners says that NIL, you should have to play in these bowl games if you want your NIL money. Wouldn't that be interesting, Dave? What do you think about that?
Then you should make a coach stay the entire contract. I don't understand why you want to force the players, but we don't enforce any of this on the coaches.
Yeah, well, that's
the I mean, why is it only good for the players? Because the thing is all these conference leaders and all these people, it's impacting their paycheck. And the players are looking out for themselves now instead of just being part of the process for all these other people to make money off of. Of course, Saban and Sweeney and all the top coaches are upset because they used to lord over all these players. And if you didn't do or you didn't come to the program and do what I want or do the things I need, I'm gonna hold over this scholarship and you're not going to be able to come here. And now the players are going, I don't need to go to Alabama. I don't need to go to Clemson.
But it seems like coaches don't want to deal with it anymore. Chip Kelly, he wanted to be a coordinator. Now he's a I mean, these guys, these old school coaches don't want no part of this NIL nonsense. It's going to be for younger game and younger coaches but you're not going to have coaches coaching 30, 40 years like you had in the past.
Good.
Not going to deal with it. Fran, I don't blame him.
Fran, Chip Kelly wants to collect his $8 million a year and say, you play here or you don't play here. The power has changed and they don't like it.
Yeah, support. And
let's be honest. We keep talking about how, well, you're getting a scholarship, you're getting education. It hasn't been about education in a generation. Let's be honest.
Well, I would like this.
We have this fake discussion that they're recruiting all these players because it's getting an education. They're trading in the opportunity for money for an education to be able to say, look, I'm giving you this. It's never about that. It never has been about that. But you know what? It's a great way to talk about it and saying, you know what? That's why we can't give money. That's why we can't give books, because they're getting the free education and they should be happy with that.
Well, how about this? What do you guys think about if, how about you give them like 10, 15 years and they have to graduate? Otherwise, you have to give the NIL money back. Get your degree.
Fran, how about we have every single college coach have to stay for their whole contract? Why is it always on the players?
Good point.
That's my thing. Is like,
it's all about money. Only, I don't care. As long as I have football to watch, I don't care. I'm not getting any money out of this.
Well, but that's the thing. It's like all these college coaches who used to, are you saying Nick Saban wasn't handing out, didn't have people behind him handing out money over the last 15 years?
SMU, the death penalty. All this behind the scenes. Everyone cheats. Now it's legal.
Exactly. Now it's legal. And you know what? Everybody who was profiting it off of before is mad. And every one of these coaches who are complaining about it, it's because it's affecting them personally in money.
And now they have 12 teams. In a couple of years, it'll be 14. Because the big conference want more teams in there. It's not the little guy is going to be one, and that's it.
It's all about the money. And you know what? It's great to see the players getting some of that, because it's about time.
Yeah, and we're talking.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, in college football, it goes back to what you said. It's always been about the money. We're talking the money at the major league level of college football. Obviously, college football, once you get below, I don't know, say SEC, Big Ten, but you get into the lower tier conferences, then there's money, but then you get into what used to be called, I always still affectionately called Division I AA. It's not about money. It's about getting noticed by the pros, but a lot of those guys are playing in the lower tier colleges, which are most of the colleges. People forget that most of the, when we're talking NIL deals in college football, we're only talking select schools. The vast majority of colleges, NIL money really doesn't come into it. It's about playing for the love of the game. So as we move along, I mean, the money will always be there with college football, but I agree with what you're saying, Dave. It's about time the players, you know, if you look back in history, you look, you know, Alamis Alonzo Stagg, if you remember the history books, he was very much against professional football. Yet he had no qualms himself about taking money from the college to coach football. So, you know, I mean, it's always been, you know, at least now we can say, when it comes to money in football and money in college sports, that a lot of the wrongs are starting to be righted. But with all that said, I mean, it goes back to what you said, Dave. I agree. They need to, if they need to hold the coaches accountable ever more so than just as much as they hold the players accountable.
My last thing for you, Frank, quick question for you.
Yep.
Do you remember when Dabo Sweeney said if NIL comes true, he's going to quit?
Yeah, and he hasn't.
He's going to make $11 million this year. I haven't heard him about resigning. Have you?
Nope. And zero transfers. They want them in the military. No transfers. No one transfers to Clemson.
He's making $11 million. I don't think he cares.
Yeah. Nope. Well, you know, and talking about that with college coaches, let's talk about Deion Sanders real quick. What is the bubble burst in Colorado? Is the hype?
If they don't get to a bowl game this year, then it's no one's gonna care. No one's gonna care. Get to a bowl game. Get 6 wins. Get to a bowl game. Every bowl on this planet's gonna want them. Besides the playoff games.
There's one person that can answer this question. It's the president of Colorado. Because when they signed Deion Sanders, they didn't have the $5 million a year to pay him. Guess what? I bet they have at least that much. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Deion stay there a little while because he put that place on the map. They were regarded as the worst college football team in Division I. The worst.
And they wisely went to the Big 12 and wait for the Pac-12 massacre.
He went 4-8. Is he going to say that's a disappointment? Oh, yeah. But he went 4-8. They made a boatload of money. I can't even quantify how much they made.
And TV ratings.
Yeah. Exposure.
Sold out. Merchandise.
When was the last time the Colorado Buffaloes was relevant?
Paul McCartney, when they cheated that year on the fifth down.
Yeah. Back during the days of, Cordell Stewart days.
Cordell Stewart days. Yeah.
He takes a lot of hits, but you know what? It's part of the brand. He's going to be, you know what? We're going to get around to August. And guess what? We're going to be talking about Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes.
I'm looking forward to doing college football with you guys. I've been chomping at the bit to do that with you guys. Every couple of weeks, we'll do a college football. I love college football. So I'm looking forward to butt heads with David and Greg during that season.
It's not butting heads, but it's not butting heads. It's just it's I love this honestly debate, but this you bring all three of us, we bring different things. And I like having these discussions because I learn different things. I hear different things, and I come from my own thoughts and my own feelings on things. It's good to have this. It's fantastic.
Oh, I know that. I love college football. I'm probably going to be going to the Tennessee NC State game in Charlotte. That's going to be awesome. I'm living in the South where NC State is running the show down there in North Carolina. Mac Brown dances more than he coaches. Yep.
Well, it's interesting about college football. So this past weekend we had Southern Oregon University, NAIA school, play the Japanese national champion, the KG Fighters. I won't give the full Japanese name of the school. And it was interesting to watch a little college football this past weekend, even though it was exhibition, didn't count in the standings, obviously. But it was interesting watching the Jet, because I did not get a chance. John and I in the Gridiron Japan podcast that we did a couple days ago unfortunately never got to the subject. But, so we had a football game, and it was interesting because you had the Japanese national champion. I mean, the KG Fighters are the Alabama and Notre Dame, and you could throw another school in there that's always been a powerhouse in the States all together. I mean, they've won 31-plus national championships in Japan with college football. So KG came to America and got their asses handed to them by Southern Oregon University. And it was interesting to watch, just to talk about where the sport is in America compared to other places in the world. And this was a good example of why America will always rule the gridiron when it comes to football. Because the kids from Southern Oregon, I mean, they're in their spring practice session, but these two teams took the field, and immediately it was like watching the varsity versus the freshman. It was just size-wise. It was interesting to watch, and it was, you know, somebody who follows the game over here. I watched that, hoping for a really tight game, hoping Japan was, you know, the KG Fighters were going to win it, and they got blown out by 30 points. So I got my sum it all up. I got my college football fix here this past weekend, but going back to what you were saying, looking forward to talking college football this autumn. And it's going to be interesting to me, especially somebody who's from Chicago, because you guys know Northwestern doesn't have a stadium this year. So the last I have heard and read, they're building a temporary stadium on the lakefront, on Lake Michigan lakefront, which is basically, if you guys know what they did in Hawaii when they tore down Aloha Stadium, it's basically the kind of the similar setup to what Hawaii has. And I'm just curious how that's all going to pan out for Northwestern, because that's a whole program that's got their own issues right now. So I'm looking forward to the college football talk coming. Hey, yeah, go ahead.
Greg, quick question about that, about the game you went to. Predominantly in Japan. Wait,
which game?
The college game.
Okay, the one I watched on TV.
Oh, was that okay? You watched it on TV. What was the game you went to?
I went to an exhibition game between the Okayama Standing Bears, which is an X2, which is in Japan, it's like with soccer, you know, you've got relegation and advancement. They're one of the lower teams. They're an X2. And so they played a team from across the island and another prefecture, okay, composed of college players, the Ehime All-Stars. And that was, in watching that game, because I went there, it was free to get in. It's, you know, the stadium here in Okayama. It's a nice modern stadium. It's a soccer stadium. In Japan, they take care of their stadiums. I mean, the stadium that is across the street from me, I don't know how old it is, but it's in really, really good shape. But it's old, but it's in really good shape. But it was interesting to watch. It was a nice day of watching football, even though the game was kind of a blowout. It was a perfect day to watch football. And where we sat at was in the shade, because, you know, it was high 70s, so we weren't directly in the sunlight. So, but yeah, no, I went to, it was basically, it's basically, I guess, technically my first X League game, but it was an exhibition game. It was just nice to get, and it didn't cost me anything. So it didn't cost us anything to sit and watch. And but football, when it comes to the gridiron football, it's such a niche sport here. I mean, it's like, boy, how do I want to compare it? It would, well, pick any relatively obscure sport. And, you know, it'd be like, I don't know.
Club rugby.
Yeah. That's basically what we're talking about. But it's nice. But college, there is a following, but it's so small. I get frustrated because, you know, on the Gridiron Japan podcast, I talk football with John and BJ. BJ now is coaching, you know, our former co-host, BJ Beatty, who is basically the Japan's version of Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, and you could name other linebackers all rolled into one. I mean, if there were a Pro Football Hall of Fame, BJ would be in there, be part of that first class. But he's coaching now defense for the Fujitsu Frontiers. So just to talk football with people here, so doing this with you guys is very, you know, it keeps me in touch with everybody. So, and I'm like, going back to what Fran said, I'm looking forward to more football talk as we get, you know, because we got the CFL season starting here soon, real soon. And Dave and I will be, you know, you and I are going to be talking Canadian football here, hopefully next week or the week after that, before the preseason starts, with some of our friends up in the Great White North on those podcasts to get a preview of the season. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to talking football with you guys, because for somebody like me, I live over where I live in Japan, I'm the only white guy that I see. I mean, there, it's not like I live in Tokyo where it is, you know, it's international. Where I live at, it's not an international town. It's like I said, I'm kind of a novelty act when people meet me.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. I'm that guy. I always joke with my wife. She's like, I go, yeah, they know who I am. If people don't know me, they, you know, so it's fine. It's, but it does, living over here in Japan, when it comes to, you know, without going political or anything, but when we, you know, when we talk race relations and we talk about what's going on in the States, living over here, being a minority, I mean, I'm, you know, being, I have a better perspective now on what's going on back home when it comes to a lot of things, being an outsider here. So with all that said, Fran, I'm going to give you the final word on this show for today. So what say you, my friend?
Well, I'm looking forward to us catching up in another month or so and talking about all the championships that happened this coming up month with the UFL championship, and we'll see where Arena Football stands, the survival of the fittest.
And I'm looking forward to. So yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot of the football talk. And I guess we kind of said, I think towards the top of the program, our next episode will probably be our final one. We're going to go on hiatus after the next episode, only because I'm going to be doing some traveling. So, and it's, we'll try to get, you know, I'm not saying we won't do a podcast. I will be bringing my iPad with me. So maybe we will be able to talk some CFL football while I'm on the road, but a lot of it just depends upon, you know, Wi-Fi and communications and all that. But it would be nice to be, because, you know, we usually do this in the evening. So fingers crossed that even though I'm going to be in the States, we'll still be able to review the what was going, you know, at least do this for an hour every, you know, one night a week while I'm over there in the States. So a lot of it just depends upon hotel Wi-Fi, family Wi-Fi, and all that stuff. So so all that said, Dave, I'll give you the final word. What do you got to say?
Have a good night. Thanks for watching.
Yeah. Hey, thanks to every. And that's my last thing, too. We have right now, as I'm looking here, we have 35 people watching live here, and most of them are on Twitter, which I was it's an unexpected surprise. So thank you very much for everybody who's, you know, taking their time to watch us. And yeah, we're just three guys hanging out and talking sports. I mean, that's what we like to do. And we are on the Sports History Network. It's on the bottom of the screen. So if you're watching, you know how to get in touch with us. But if you're listening to the audio part of this, we are at fromthe55yardline.ca. Get links to our Sports History Network page. We are also on YouTube at gridiron.america. On Twitter at fromthe55, and on Facebook at fromthe55. And then we'll be putting this show on other pages as the week goes on. And you can pretty much find us anywhere on Apple Podcast. Everywhere you can find a podcast, we're there. So it's from the 55 yard line. And with all that said, and before I'm starting to ramble here, so with all that said, everybody have a good night. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will be seeing you and talking to you very, very soon. Bye bye.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.